Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Casual KO. Alex is MIA because he didn't get first place this last week. That's why, I mean, it's a pattern. It's legitimately a pattern. How did you do this last week, Jared? We had Rose Namajunas and, you know, not Tabitha Ricci, the other hot Brazilian, Amanda Ribas.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a weird main event, man. Like, I actually kind of thought there could be a case made that Ribas won. I'm glad she didn't, because I had money on the other side. But how'd you do?
I did pretty well. And it was, I don't know if it felt like a closer fight, because it was kind of boring and Ribas put her hands up after every round.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know, dude. Weird main event. But I did pretty good. The whale bet hit being Shabazzian and Talbot. But man, how good did Talbot look?
Talbot's on another level, man. I wouldn't be opposed to him, you know, the UFC wouldn't do this, but I wouldn't be opposed to him getting a top five bantamweight opponent right now. You know what I mean? What they should do is, like, I know Rob Font's a really good name to go up against. I think that makes sense. But he's got to fight a ranked opponent in his next fight. Cameron Simon, unfortunately, a busted prospect at this point.
Yeah, he's had a couple tough fights. I mean, he's still got a ton of potential, but, man, he took a beating in that fight. I mean, that knee Talbot landed, that noise that made was insane.
Yeah, it was scary, man. And that's the thing. Like, it's crazy that I was kind of a little bit worried about betting on Talbot in that fight. I ended up taking the action on him. I took a round 2 and 3 knockout. He got the round 2 knockout. I think here I had on the record, I had a knockout round 3. You had Talbot by decision. Alex had also the round 3 knockout, but round 2 knockout hit, and I'm surprised it didn't come in round 1. I mean, he looks good, and he's so unassuming because he kind of looks like a pussy, you know, like just his whole demeanor looks like a, you know, chill kind of stoner, kind of hippie type dude. But I loved his post-fight celebration, that like electrocution thing. I love the guy, dude. He's fucking awesome. So I hope that they keep, you know, they don't really slow roll him, because I think he's kind of in his prime right now. He's going to get better, but I think his prime's going to last a long time, man. I want to see this guy fight Sean O'Malley in like a year or two. I think that'd be an incredible fight. But anything else on the card that you want to highlight, man? You had a couple great picks.
Yeah, what really did it was Lima and Talbot. Those are like the best ones for me. But Shabazzian, man, what a scare he gave me.
Yeah, dude, and this is the thing. AJ Dobson got cut. I actually had a six-leg parlay, and Dobson shit the bed on it for me. I had every fighter in the main card, and very, very disappointed that Dobson did that. I'm glad that he's cut. He got cut, I think, today. And, yeah, fuck you, AJ Dobson. I'm sure that you're not going to ever hear this, but you had Edmund Shabazzian dead to rights, and you just quit on yourself, and yeah, he's going to go fight in LFA or something, but super disappointed, man. $40 into like over $1,000 it would have been, and that would have been a great weekend. And AJ Dobson just, I don't know what he was thinking, man. Like, like I said, dead to rights, he had Shabazzian, and then just fucking quit, it seemed like. So, bad, bad call there. I want to say,
I also did a six-teamer too, that I actually remember I had messaged you guys to, if you don't tail this, you played yourselves. I took the six that we all agreed on.
Yeah.
Parlayed them like a degenerate, and we only missed by one.
Yeah, Ramos. And I actually pick-flipped on Ramos. I took Erosa. Ramos is kind of a pussy, man. That was not a thing that you should quit to. That guillotine was not all the way in. He could have just shook him off, and he just quit. So that was a weird thing. But in hindsight, still, man, that's a good bet. You know,
yeah, I mean, me and Alex, of course, I did that parlay with Jess Ramos' money line. But me and Alex had also done the double method that we were talking about, being Ramos by KO or Rosa by sub. And that was at plus 110. I mean, it felt almost too good to be true at the time, but it worked out. I mean, it went exactly how we thought the two directions it could go. Rose almost gets knocked out, or he gets the sub. Either way, it was happening early.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing there. And then also, one thing that I want to say, because I recorded this, I actually went back after Billy Q shit the bed. I mean, he looked bad. looked really, really bad. I recorded when I was talking about how Billy Q is not that good. And then Alex is making a face at me. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what you're making a face about, man. Like, Billy Q is not good. He ended up being also on the Zalal side. But I mean, Billy Q sucks, man. I've said this for a while. He's not very good. The one thing that he has is the cardio. His striking's a 5 out of 10. His grappling's a maybe a 4 or 5 out of 10, but his cardio is an 11 out of 10. And that's how he gets shit done. There's somebody on this card that I also want to I think he's the Billy Q of the week, that a lot of people think he's good because he ends up getting some shit done, but
You know, I think I know the exact person you're talking about. I was having this conversation with a friend earlier, and he had said, "You saying Billy Q really isn't that good?" That's what really did it for him taking Zalal, because it's true. But a lot of people like him because he has a fan-friendly style,
yeah.
and he's so tough. But the thing about being so tough, when you show how tough you are in fights, it's after you're going through adversity. So it's a guy that you really can never depend on him to be ahead on the scorecards. You're hoping that he out-toughs or out-cardios the guy he's fighting, and that's why the opinion's so high of these people. But
Yeah.
these people put themselves in shitty positions all the time.
Yeah, because they want to just have a good time out there, and they know that this is a fucking business. I'm just gonna answer you with okay, but what, who do you think is the Billy Q this week?
Nate Landwehr.
Okay. Let's roll into the car.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, dude. So I think that this is a far better card than last week, and it makes sense because they're not in the Apex, they're in Atlantic City. This should be a better card. I think it's gonna be fun, man. How do you rate this card before we roll into it out of 10?
It a solid 7.5, 8. Maybe I'm being a little greedy at the or a little harsh at the 7.5, but I mean, it's a solid card.
For a
Not a
free
ton
card.
of name value, but I mean, yeah, fight night, dude, you can't complain.
Yeah, for a free card, I think I'm right there with you. It's like an 8, man. I mean, sometimes like the Jackson card where Ian Garry was fighting for free. I mean, that was before everyone hated Ian Garry. That was like a
Right.
freaking 10 out of 10 for a free card. But yeah, we've got what, 14 fights? Yeah, 14 fights so far. Hopefully none of these fall through. Interesting kind of matchups, man. Like you said, not a lot of name value. Couple people coming back from injuries, couple UFC debuts, whatnot. But let's roll right into it. If Alex was here, we would do me first, you second, Alex third. We can alternate since it's just you and I here. I'll start off. I went 12 and on record, I went 9-4 last week. After my full picks, I went 12-2. The shit that I posted on the Instagram story. It's why you need to follow me at Dangerous World Podcast. Follow Jared at T Picks. I mean, you get that last minute insight that could make a big difference. Let's roll into it, man. Angel Pacheco versus Callum Laughren. Not a fan of Callum Laughren, man. I really don't like this dude at all. I watched his last fight where he took on an Italian dude in what's this motherfucker's name? Dillon Hay.
Lapalus, isn't he
No.
French?
Yeah, two fights ago, I should say, Dillon Hayzen, the French guy, and then he fought this Dillon Hayzen guy who's an Italian. I think very lowly of Italian MMA. Not to talk shit. I mean, Marvin Vettori is the one guy, and he's not even that good. He's just tough as shit. You need a baseball bat to put this guy away. Now, with Dillon Hayzen, decent striker. I mean, the guy's record, I think he's 12-2. Pretty damn good, but my thing with Callum Laughren, or however the fuck you say his Irish name, he gets hit a lot, man. This guy gets hit a lot. He's short. He's stocky. He's supposedly a very, very good grappler. But I'm going to have to go with Angel Pacheco or Angel Pacheco. This is the guy that fought Danny Silva on the Contender Series, and they went blood and guts. This dude landed 192 significant strikes versus 204. And Danny Silva ended up getting the, I think it was a unanimous decision win. Danny Silva looked good against Coulibal when he fought. I kind of think Coulibal won that fight. That was just my opinion. I did have money on him, might have swayed my opinion. But Angel Pacheco looked really good against a legitimate UFC level competitor. and he's taking on Colin Loughran. My problem here is that it seems like the UFC wants Colin Loughran to win. So I'm not loving the pick, but I'm going with Angel Pacheco here. I think it goes decision. I think he gets probably a 29-28. It's going to be greasy, but I also really don't like Colin Loughran, so don't trust me on this pick. I can't stand this motherfucker. What do you think about this first fight of the night?
I like it. You're taking the big underdog right out the gate. But I'm on the Loughran side here. What I do like about Pacheco is, I mean, that Contender Series fight is such an entertaining fight. I mean, he didn't get the W, but I mean, super entertaining. He's got really, really good boxing and he's got a chin on him. On the Loughran side, he has decent striking. He doesn't really throw as many combinations, but the dude does hit hard. I think he's got some wrestling, and I think he has pretty good cardio. If he can make this a wrestle-heavy fight, he has a pretty clear path here. I'm gonna side with Loughran, but I don't think Pacheco's going anywhere. I think he's gonna be really tough to get out of there, so I'm gonna say it's by decision.
Okay. So yeah, we're both on decision. Last week, man, the thing that separated you and Alex from getting like a solid number two spot was the decision picks. Because, if we tie, I go back to, actually, no, that's what separated all of us. We all got nine correct, but I had four 100% picks, and all of those were decisions. You guys both had three. So that's just interesting, man. Like, if you're gonna try and snipe something out, you kind of have to go decision. If you just pick decision on all these fights, you have a better chance. But obviously we're trying to, make this a little more entertaining than just doing that kind of shit. But you got Loughran, the little leprechaun. I've got this American dude that's tough as shit, man. Should go the distance. I 100% agree with that. This is yours to start. Andre Petrovsky versus Jacob Malkoon, an American versus an Australian. Should be fun. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, grappler versus grappler. I don't think this is one of these ones where both guys have good wrestling, so it's just going to cancel out. They're both going to want to get this on the mat. I think Petrovsky's probably a bit more comfortable on his back than the Coon is, but
Again.
I'm going to side with Petrovsky here. I don't feel good about it. Not sure if I'm even going to have action on it, but when a fight feels like a coin flip and one guy's minus 200, I got to go with the underdog. So.
Sure.
This fight feels like a coin flip to me, and I'll say Petrovsky wraps up some kind of submission in the first round.
Okay. Yeah, I like that a lot, man. I don't like this Renzo Gracie gym.
I know.
Their striking is horrible. Now, Jacob Malkoon, he gets this great reputation. I would actually say he gets a bad reputation, even though he's like the greatest featherweight of all times wrestling coach, right? I mean, like, that's kind of wild. Andrei Arlovski, or not Andrei Arlovski, freaking
Volkanovski.
Volkanovski, dude. It's an interesting little thing that we see here, and Malkoon is just one of these guys that's flown under the radar. He's a 7-3 fighter, lost to Cody Brundage by illegal strikes. I agree with you, this line is off, but I gotta go with Malkoon. Malkoon, I think, is the more well-rounded fighter. Petrovsky, if he loses this fight, man, he's got to relocate to a different gym. That Renzo Gracie gym just focuses on grappling. I'm not an MMA fighter. I'm not a fighter whatsoever, right? But if I owned a gym and we were great at grappling, I would move away from the grappling a little bit. I would have, like, if you're training 5 days, 7 days a week, whatever, let's say you're training 5 days a week, 4 days are striking days. One day is grappling day, right? It's just nuts. It seems like all that these guys care about is grappling, and it's really shown lately. Pat Sabatini losing. I mean, Joe Pyfer needs to work on his cardio. It's just nuts. It's a really interesting little thing that they got going on there in Philly. It's not working out very well for him. So
Yeah, dude, I think these guys should take like a group trip to Thailand.
yeah, you said that last time, one of these guys.
Everyone, the whole gym.
Man, I've been watching lately because, like, I kind of told you, dude, I've been so, for the record, I have Malkoon by decision. I told you, I'm like sparring a little bit and like getting into like just I'm not trying to fight even amateur level. I just, it's a fun exercise. It's It's a hell of a fucking workout, man. Just boxing is such a good workout if you're actually sparring with someone. I was watching Thai, like Muay Thai workouts, like just like warm-ups, like the block with the legs and stuff, like you
Yeah.
do 30 blocks to the right, 30 blocks to the left, 30 blocks kicks to, you know, with these. Dude, it's fucking just to be a low-level Muay Thai fighter, you're hand-eye coordination, your agility, your balance is 10 times what the average athlete is, I would say. Because I'm not, like, even though I'm a bigger dude, I'm light on my feet. Like, I can move around. Like, I played football in high school. I wrestled. Like, I didn't wrestle, you know, formally, but, you know, doing like the open mats and shit like that. It is next level, man. Like, the way that these guys are light on their feet, it's wild. So yeah, I agree, man. These guys that are such talented grapplers need to get out there and focus on Muay Thai a little bit, just a little.
That's why I love ONE FC so much, dude. They put on some of the craziest fights. They got like a 70% finish rate. I mean, these guys put on a show every time. Even their kickboxing is fucking crazy because a lot of them are coming from Muay Thai gyms over there.
I mean, yeah, it goes without saying, man, like, unless you're a big wrestling or jiu-jitsu fan, that style of fighting is boring to watch. You know, everybody loves a striking match. Everybody does. Boxing can even be boring because these guys are hugging half the time. So, you know, if there's some kind of incentive to create violence and damage, I think that that is definitely fan friendly. I still think UFC is by far number one as far as entertainment value, but yeah, I agree. One is definitely number two. Moving on up the card to the third fight of the night, I get the chick fight. Now, this is Melissa Gatto versus Victoria Dudikova. Victoria Dudikova having to move up in weight. A lot of people are low on this girl right now because she fought, who was it? The Karate Hottie, right? Jenny Fry, I guess. Not the Karate Hottie. Jenny Fry. Jenny Fry going the distance with her when you're a prospect, that's not a good look. But this is female fighting. Dudikova also had a asshole staph infection. And I'm not even trying to be funny about that. If you remember, she said she had staph on her vagina and her asshole in the post-fight press conference. Do you remember this?
I fucking do not. That is
Yeah.
pretty fucking funny, though.
Her translator said it was in my woman parts and behind. Like, that's what the translator said.
Wow.
So she had a staph infection. Imagine having a staph infection on your nutsack and fighting.
Nope.
And you know, I credit that performance pretty well at that point. Now, was she telling the truth? Who knows? But I think that Dudikova, I think that she's an interesting character here. And I think that this line, I agree that Gatto should probably be favored, but I'm going to take the dog here. I'm going to take Dudikova. I think this goes the distance. And I think that in a close fight, they're going to give this to Dudikova. It could even be a split decision. Gatto's no joke, especially at flyweight. You can see here, you know, Dudikova's moving up from strawweight. Gatto is a flyweight. She's going to be the bigger girl, but Dudikova did miss weight. So maybe she's well suited at 125. I think this is Dudikova all day. Don't follow me blindly, but I think it's a.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Due to COVID decision.
Yeah, I'm on the other side, man. I like iCarly. I just she seems she's comfortable wherever the fight goes, man. She's well rounded. She's coming off two close decisions, and you know, the strength of schedule is so much higher. Due to COVID, even when she came into the UFC two fights ago, I've been wanting to fade her. I just don't think she's that good. She has solid striking, but I think her wrestling's really bad. When she gets taken down, she has like no get-up game. I could see it playing out close on the feet, but her grappling, it can absolutely win her this fight. And it's not a landslide of a difference on the feet. I think it'll be fairly close. But if Gato pushes a wrestling agenda, it should be her all day. So I'm going to side with Gato by decision.
Okay. Yeah, I when I heard you saying Gato, I wrote down decision for you already. That's a fight that probably goes the distance. You know what I mean?
Is she not iCarly?
She's absolutely iCarly, even with her hand position, right? Like the
yeah,
shot
it's fucking crazy.
That's yep. how she's. I mean, it's wild. I thought that was the worst fight to take. You get one of the worst fights to start off with here. Ivo Aslan versus the Pleasure Man. Man, the Pleasure Man's looked bad lately, dude. But
the worst fight. This is the rematch everyone's been begging for.
I wish that I would have asked you this earlier on, and I'll back up here a little bit just so that you don't feel like you have to answer this one. But like, honestly, think about this. If you could remove one fight from this fight card, which would it be? Would it be any of these on the prelims that we see here? Or would it be, you know, any of the main card fights?
Yeah, no, that's the one.
It's a bad fight, man. It's weird.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone gives a shit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's it's just a weird fight. I don't know why this is happening. You know, they're getting this rematch in the UFC, but yeah, Anton's he's looked pretty bad. I mean, that fight with Petrino though, it was a banger. But dude's got a dusty chin, and I don't think very high of him. Ivo on the other side, I mean, all of his 12 wins have come by knockout, but this is a dude that has horrible cardio. I mean, even I think he has one or two, maybe second round finishes, and like even he didn't look good, man. Like, I'm not a fan of either guy. I really don't care who wins. I'm just gonna take Anton blindly. He won by submission last time, so for the sake of parity, I'll call it a knockout this time. Okay. Maybe round two. I mean, I don't got much of an opinion here. These. Just not a fan.
So I'm sorry, you have Anton knockout round two?
Yep, and I don't feel good about it, so definitely would not recommend parting ways with your money on it.
Okay. Yeah, man, I think that the UFC wants this fight to happen. You're wondering, you know, why the fuck is this fight happening in the first place? I think that they're tired of Anton. Anton's weird, dude. Like, he's not, I don't think that anyone really likes this guy. There's a couple of like cappers and stuff that I've heard, you know, they like this dude and like, you know, they like the shtick and then like the cringiness. He's whack, man. Like, you went out there and got knocked out by Tyson Pedro, who just retired. You know, that's not a good look. He got knocked out quick. And you said his chin is dusty. If anyone's going to dust off that chin, it's Ebo, man. Like, this guy's a fucking freak. You can tell he's roided out. He's probably going to come in juiced to the gills because USADA's not involved anymore. So, yeah, give me Ebo Islam knockout round one. I think that just makes sense. Probably pretty square. But like I said, I was arguing with the Sean O'Malley versus Chito Vera stuff. Sometimes those square bets are so square and so obvious that you have to jump on them. Fifth fight of the night, Connor Matthews versus Dennis Bazuka. Dennis Bazuka, horrible human being. I don't know if you've heard the whole thing with him. Have you paid attention?
No, don't know what you're horrible human being, huh?
Yeah, bad person. Similar to Cedricus Dumas that we'll talk about later. I'll actually pull up some information here for you. Dennis Bazuka beat the shit out of a kid. And then he got arrested. He was 19. I think he beat up an 18-year-old. Let me see if I can figure out how to spell this motherfucker's name. I should have just copied and pasted. But he basically, it sounds like what they were doing out there in New York was setting up a criminal record. Sorry, I can't talk and type at the same time. They were setting up like a bait and switch type thing where he was sending out some girl to try to like get some shit going. And then he went in and like beat this dude up, stole his wallet. Of course, the computer doesn't show it. The phone sure does, though. And we'll see if we can find it a different way. Criminal record, Dennis Bazooka, UFC. Watch this. It's wild, man, because we have two like serious, like, you know, kind of bad people.
I think I just saw a link to it.
Where?
Go up. You see where it says amateur MMA fighter accused of beating teen to a pulp? It's right under stats, UFC. See, it says explore further.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Good eye. Yeah, so amateur MMA fighter accused of beating teen to a pulp in robbery. Staten Island, New York, an amateur MMA fighter was arrested for allegedly, they always have to throw that.
Yeah, always.
Allegedly pummeling an 18-year-old Great Kills resident during, that's a great name for a city, by the way, or a town, during a violent robbery in Myers Connors on Wednesday, police said. Dennis Bazooka, 18 years old, and that's not a common name, okay? And even followed it up, like they followed it up saying that, you know, this dude with a UFC contract is, you know, a convicted felon and all this stuff. So, yeah, man, the guy went out there and just basically was committing robberies, bad guy. And it's that has made me lose a lot of respect for like John Anik and all these guys because, you know, even the freaking who's the redhead out of that gym, too?
Frivola.
Yeah, Frivola. You know, these guys saying that, oh, yeah, man, this guy's just such a hard worker in the gym. He's a fucking piece of shit, and you guys are trying to cover for him. Now, he's also not a very good fighter at the UFC level. Conor Matthews, I think this is my fight, right? Conor Matthews, yep. Decent. He's been on the Contender Series twice. He lost his first time in a great fight. I mean, he's a tough dude. Air Force veteran, Air Force, kind of the laziest branch of the military. I know you're a
Marine. The Chair Force.
Yeah, dude. I have a really, really good friend that's Air Force, so I feel like I can talk shit about the Air Force a little bit. Navy's the gayest. Air Force is the laziest. Man, you know, I like Conor Matthews here. Dennis Bazooka, last time he had his worst performance in his home state. He fought in Madison Square Garden. The pressure gets to him. You might think like, oh, he's fighting in New Jersey here. He's the hometown guy. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be fueled by the fans and all this shit. I think it's the opposite for this guy. I think he's a head case. He's clearly a bad human being. I hope that he gets what's coming to him. I hope he goes 3-0, or, you know, 0-3, 3-out in the UFC. And Conor Matthews puts it to him, man. Conor Matthews will grind through. He's a great wrestler. He's a great grappler working out of a New England Cartel. Solid pace that this guy can put on. He gets tired after round one, but he pushes through, kind of like Dustin Poirier. Dustin Poirier looks bad after round one, round two, but he just still fights at that same pace. So give me Conor Matthews again. I hate to say decision again. I'm going to go Conor Matthews submission round two. So, you know, take it or leave it, but what do you think about this fight?
I actually have the exact same pick, Matthews submission round two.
Okay.
Bazooka, I did not know he was that big of a piece of shit. I remember hearing something like vaguely, but definitely didn't know the details like that. But aside from that, before the UFC, this dude's had a very weak strength of schedule. And then he got to the UFC and he's 0-2. He fought good guys, but he got exposed. He has one round of cardio in him and that's it. On the Conor Matthews side, he beat the absolute GOAT. Jay Ellis. You need to take a look at this guy's record right now.
Oh, I know Jay Ellis.
He is the fucking GOAT. I can't believe this guy like is still fighting people. It's fucking awesome.
Where is he on here?
He's right there.
But did he fight him as an amateur?
No. It was pro. It was like his fifth fight.
Was it Bazooka or Matthews?
No, Matthews. I just saw it. It's right there.
Okay. Yeah, you have a better like, shit than I do.
I think it was like his fifth pro fight. But he beat the fucking GOAT. But
so listen, man, so what, he fought him when he was 15 and 97. He's
He's like 16 and 109, dude. Like, that is crazy.
And you know what's crazy, man? Most of these fights end by finish, dude. Like, this guy, he's got 0 decision wins, 4 decision losses, 29 TKO knockouts. Like,
I hope anybody that any of those 16 guys that lost to Jay Ellis just stopped fighting after.
I would hope so. I mean, you know what's crazy too, man? You think about this guy's record and how, you know, you call him the GOAT. You can type in who has the worst MMA record, and it's not Jay Ellis, but Jay Ellis has the worst record that you can find. So Jay Ellis, unfortunately, man, he's just like a born fucking loser, man. Like, he can't even get a record in the most losses. This guy is just like, I don't know what he did in his past lives. This guy's a fucking loser to the core, to where he can't even get recognized for anything. So it's kind of sad, also kind of impressive on a really depressing level. But yeah, give me your thoughts on this. I know we're almost wrapping up with this one.
Yeah, where I'm at is just basically we know Bazooka, he's got a round in him, and that's it. I mean, I don't think highly of this guy at all, despite all those guys at the, all those high level guys at his gym co-signing on him. I don't buy into it. I never did. Matthews, his best weapons in this fight is his cardio and his chin. Get through that first round, he'll be just fine. Bazooka's a quitter. I really think Matthews can get him out of there. So I'm gonna say Matthews finds himself a submission in the second round. On the feet, they're pretty similar. And when I say they're similar, I mean they're both pretty sloppy. But the cardio and chin, that can make all the difference in this fight.
And
Because
just the
those are two things
willpower.
Bazooka doesn't have.
Well, and it seems like, you know, Matthews is like a legitimately gritty guy. Bazooka, I guarantee you, he was born like well off, you know what I mean? And he just like wants to be a piece of shit. So he thinks that he's living in the trenches. Matthews, it seems like I've heard some stories like this guy's supposedly gone through some shit, you know, like an actual, like a good dude that's gone through some hard times. And I really try not to just side with who I want to win. I just see the path to victory there for him. He seems like the better fighter. Seems like the UFC wants him around. And I actually think that the UFC doesn't like that Longo Weidman gym, you know, or the Longo Serra gym, whatever it is. You know, they wanted to get Aljo out of there. They've really neglected Merab. You know, obviously with Weidman. You know, he was a great representation of that gym, but I don't know. It seems like they don't like him and that gym as a whole. So yeah, this is you, the sixth fight of the night. Julio Arce versus one of the toughest guys to ever walk this planet, Herbert Jones. This guy never quits on himself, never quits on his brother Gilbert. Just I mean, you're never gonna see this guy being carried out of the ring crying because he's tired. You're never going to see Herbert Burns just quit on himself. Who do you have in this fight and why?
I mean, this is one that definitely doesn't require a ton of thought. It's RSA all day. I mean, Herbert Burns, he's a quitter. He is amazing jiu-jitsu, but he fucking sucks. On the feet, it's just so bad, dude. Like, the output is low. He just gets hit so much, and he just desperately needs the fight to get to the ground. And you'd think of, usually these grapplers, they have good cardio. He doesn't have good cardio, he doesn't have a good chin, and he doesn't have good heart. I mean, Arce, he got the high volume, he's got great takedown defense, and that's all it's going to take. Avoid the mat in the first round, you'll get this guy out of here all day. So give me Arce to wear out Burns, find himself a knockout third round.
Third, huh? Okay. Yeah, I think that the move here is fight doesn't go the distance because I'm a little concerned. Yeah, obviously, you know, for those that don't know, Herbert Burns, younger brother of Gilbert Burns, but the taller and lighter weight guy. Kind of a weird thing, right? Did you see, maybe there was some cheating going on there in Brazil. These guys look similar, but one's younger, taller, and skinnier. Gilbert Burns, man, people have so much respect for him, myself included. This his brother, I mean, it's like Davison Figueiredo and his brother, or Valentina Shevchenko and her sister. There's
Yeah.
that's so much better. And Herbert Burns, man, anyone should go out there and they should watch the Bill Algeo fight. versus Herbert Burns. And this was Herbert Burns' last fight. I think it was about 2 years ago. Dude, I mean, Herbert Burns had Bill Algeo wrapped up a couple times. I mean, it looked like the fight was over several times in the first round. And then Bill Algeo just kept doing his thing, kept grinding. And Herbert Burns was literally, not figuratively, literally crying in the center of the octagon. His brother Gilbert was saying, you can't quit. You got to get back out there. You got to do this. Gilbert Burns gave Khamzat Chimaev the hardest fight of his life. Gilbert Burns is a dog. And this guy, I mean, this guy's a fucking kitten, you know? Horrible. I mean, just a big time pussy. And I'm worried about that narrative. Right? I mean, I'm really, really worried about that narrative. Everyone knows this now. This is 2 years. I guarantee that Herbert Burns has worked on his cardio. And I guarantee that Gilbert Burns has sharpened the tools a little bit. He has to. I mean, you have to do this after this long. So I'm worried about it, but I'm on the same side as you. I think it makes sense. But I don't know if I'm going to take any action on the money line. I'm going to take the under in this fight. I don't think it goes the distance. It could be pretty juiced. It might be like a minus 300, but I think that's a very safe bet. Fight does not go the distance. Under 1.5, even if they have it like that, I would take the under there. What happens here is Julio Arce gets a knockout in round two, or Herbert Burns gets a submission in round one. I think that's realistically what happens. You have Arce submission round three. Or I'm sorry, knockout.
No, knockout.
Knockout, yeah. Knockout round three. I'm going to take Julio Arce knockout round two. I don't feel good about it, though, man. I think that this is a square side, and it's not one that I'm too confident in. We'll see, though.
I know what you mean with the narratives when everybody seems to be going in the same direction. It's always a little worrisome.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very worrisome for me.
But to be honest, dude, I think that lowly of Burns that I'm not worried. I'm really not.
I get it, man, but he's gone the distance before. You know?
Yeah, no, and it's not to say it's impossible for him to go the distance or, you know, edge out a grapple heavy fight. I think this guy sucks. I really do.
Okay.
I feel like there's only room in the bloodline for one good fighter.
Yeah. I mean, his jiu-jitsu's nasty. That's my thing.
Of course. And
supposedly, according to Gilbert, Herbert's jiu-jitsu is better. Gilbert just...
Yeah, but if you look at the gym Burns is in, though, it's like that gym is so full of jiu-jitsu people. I mean, it might be the Renzo Gracie of Singapore.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we'll see, man. I mean, it's going to be a fun one. That was you, correct? So I will go.
That was me. Yeah. Oh, you got Raul Rosas.
You're taking even. Yeah, Raul Rosas versus Lupita Godinez. You know, it's sad, man. You know, this Vernon chick seems like a cool girl. She seems like a genuinely cool person, but she looks a little bit like Rob Schneider. It's rough, but.
Oh, my God. That is so perfect.
Rob Schneider.
That's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, her jiu-jitsu's nasty, man. So you got a jiu-jitsu fighter versus a, you know, wrestler that wants to be a boxer. I'm not going to, you know, spend too much time on this. I think that Lupi actually gets this done. I think that she's shown some lapses in fight IQ in the past. But I think that she's kind of moving past that. I think she wants to keep the streak going. I don't think that she's going to try and do anything stupid. She wanted to box with Angela Hill. Keep this standing, Lupi. Don't fucking go down to the ground with this jiu-jitsu crazy bitch. Stay on the feet. You're younger, right? I mean, she's 30 versus the 35-year-old strawweight. That's ancient in strawweight women's fucking MMA, man. Verna is getting old. If Lupi keeps this on the feet and she uses her boxing, her Mexican boxing, she gets this done. I don't think she knocks Verna out. But I think that she gets a 30-27 decision. Give me Lupi by decision. It just makes sense to me. What do you think?
I love it, man. And, you know, Raul, she's a tough girl. She's never been finished. And she definitely knows how to make a fight close. I don't think her striking's all that. I mean, it's pretty bad, but she's got aggressive wrestling. And once you hit the mat, she does have real dangerous submissions. She's not a bad fighter, but I think it's Lupi's time. I mean, I've only ever seen Lupi look bad when she's outsized. That's the only times I've ever felt the need to go against her is when she's fighting a girl that's, 4 or 5 inches taller than her. She has a hard time finding her range, but she's so well-rounded. She is continuously improving just about every time you see her fight. I mean, her takedown defense is really good. I think she won't have that lapse in judgment where she decides to go to the ground with Verna, but even if she were to do that, it's not, I don't think it's a landslide of a difference on the ground, man. I think it's Loopy's time. I think she's the truth. I think she, in this fight, is just going to be a step ahead everywhere the fight goes. So I'm with you. Give me a 30-27 for Loopy.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Loopy's huge for strawweight. I mean, she's massive for strawweight, too. Like, you can see it when she gets in there with actual strawweights. So, yeah.
And when is the Mexican Independence Day, by the way? That card at the Sphere? Is that September?
It's in September. I'm not sure the date. September 18th or some shit like that. I can
call her right now. Loopy will win this fight. We'll see her on that card. And Dana loves her, too, just because how active she is.
Yeah, it's September 15th. So,
yeah, we'll see Loopy fighting on that card for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's got plenty of time. She could fight one more time before then. You know what I mean? Just give her a soft matchup. And, yeah, I mean, Loopy has to be a part of any Mexican Independence Day. It's Alexa Grasso and her. I'm trying to think of, I mean, Montserrat Rendon just lost her O, so she's not, a sexy. I mean, she's got great. I mean, dude, watching those two bounce around, you know what I mean?
Dude, yeah.
That was nuts.
She has to have the biggest tits in the UFC, like hands down.
Well, I mean, there's probably a heavyweight dude that has bigger tits than her, but I mean, they look.
Yeah, Jamal Pogues definitely comes to mind.
Do you think that they should make a women's atom weight or a women's heavyweight class?
Atom weight, all day.
I would love a women's heavyweight class, dude.
I know you would. You've mentioned it before.
I think it'd be hilarious if just two. Yeah. I mean,
I'd like to watch good fights.
But you don't think it would be hilarious to see like Lizzo's?
It would be fucking hilarious, but
that's like fight circuit shit. I get what you're saying. Okay,
maybe once a year.
Yeah, man. Like I'm saying, like the Mexican Independence Day. There's a lot of fat Mexican women.
They like Coca-Cola there, right?
Yeah. Okay, so this is you, and this is a great fight. So. Nate Landwehr, this is the featured prelim versus Jamal Emmers. I'm very curious to see what you think about this. And for the record, Nate Landwehr was not my Billy Q of this fight. I told you I'd
damn.
Okay. He's not.
Oh, I had it.
No, he's not, man. But I that kind of gives me a clue as to where you're going with this. And I'm interested if I'm right. This is a great fight. I'll let you take it. You're starting this.
I'm trying to fucking... Is it Algio? We'll cross a bridge when we get there, I guess.
We will.
But yeah, like I was saying, with the Billy Q stuff, Landwehr, he's a tough dude. And everyone knows he's tough. That's why everyone likes him. And it's because, he makes every fight, it's exciting, win or lose. He's always in an exciting fight. But to be in an exciting fight like that, you got to face some adversity. And... it seems almost every fight, this dude's facing adversity. I mean, even look at that Onama fight. The only he got dropped in that fight. I mean, the only reason he won is because Onama gassed out. And you could have even argued a draw for that fight. But regardless, he's just a guy. He's got that dog in him. He's super tough. But he just gets hit so damn much. It's just not a ton of head movement. I know he's tough and he's definitely, got cardio, but the dude is just so, so hittable. Jamal Emmers, he's pretty well-rounded. And, I mean, know where the fight goes, this guy's a slouch. I mean, he's good. I actually will forever love Emmers because when he fought that padded record 23-0 Askabov or whatever his name is, I think it's that win in the middle. That was awesome. Got to cash him as a dog that night. And it was great seeing him expose a guy. It's just, I've always thought he was kind of underrated, though the bookies always seem to have him as a favorite for the most part, other than that fight. But I just feel like, as much as I like the way Landwehr fights, as exciting as he's fighting, I'm not picking the guy who puts on the most exciting fights. I'm picking the guy who I think is going to get the win here. Lamware is just too hittable, man. He should change his nickname to the Damage instead of the Train. So I think Emery's going to be a step ahead here, and I'm definitely going to ride Lanware's toughness and say Emery's wins a decision.
Okay. Yeah, I think the thing that I actually wrote down Emers for you, because I can kind of tell, like, once you start talking, I can tell where you're going. I'm on Emers as well, and the reason why I'm a little nervous about it is because of Landwehr's forward pressure. This fight goes the distance. It goes the distance. So is Emers just backing up and just countering every once in a while? And busting up Landwehr, you know, bloodying up Nate Landwehr, Nate the Train, bloodying this dude up just with a jab, right? Just popping that jab out, and he's outstruck by fucking 300%. Like, what's going on? Is Nate making it look like he's trying real hard and just backing him, Emmers up, and the crowd's popping off every time Landwehr is landing and throwing combinations and all this stuff? He's out of Tennessee versus the Californian, you know, West Coast, East Coast kind of shit. I don't know, man. This is a sketchy thing anytime there is a decision. I mean, this is a guaranteed decision fight. That would be a safe bet, I think, that this fight goes the distance. I'm on the same side as you. I'm on Emers by decision. I just, man, I'm worried about Nate's pressure. You know, he's went out there. He's fought in Russia. He's also 35, but Emers is 34. So, you know, these guys are getting up there for these lighter weight classes. We saw what's happened to Volk lately. Obviously, Volk fighting different levels of competition than these two are. But, man, this is a hell of a fight to try and predict. I am on Emers. I wish that we had, you know, someone else here as well to see if we're all on the same side. If Alex was on Emers too, I would probably pick flip over to Nate the Train. But, yeah, I got to go Emers, man. Just a cleaner fighter with more tech. Absolutely more technique. Moving up the card to Chidi Njiquani versus Reese McKee. Now, do you know what's interesting about this fight?
What's that?
What weight class do you think this is at?
It's at welterweight, isn't it?
How the fuck does that make sense?
Yeah, Chidi's moving down. Well, when Chidi started fighting, he, like, when he went pro, he was a welterweight. And I think what did it was when he was in Bellator, he had a couple catchweight fights, like, consecutively, like, where one was at 175, one was at 180, and I think the following was at 180. And I think he was just like, dude, not cutting weight's kind of fucking sweet. So he just decided to go 85.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm just worried about that weight cut.
At this age, man, cutting an extra 15 pounds, it's definitely worrisome.
At 35 years old, yeah. I hate these Irish fighters, man. Like I was telling you, you know, at the beginning, this Loughran dude, I'm not a fan. I think that every one of these guys wants to be Conor McGregor, and none of them will ever be at that level, ever. Even Ian Garry, as much as he's, you know, supposedly talented, you watch his last three fights, they're boring as shit, man. Maybe his last two fights, because when he fought the dad-botted fucking Daniel Rodriguez, he head-kicked him. But Daniel Rodriguez, I don't think, was ever UFC caliber. I think Reese McKee sucks. I honestly do. His best weapon is his toughness, but he got off zero strikes against Khamzat. Khamzat's not that great anymore, right? He's a head case. Reese McKee is a head case. He's fighting a big, scary black dude with a fucking demon voice. I don't know if you've heard this guy talk. This guy
actually have in my notes, deepest voice in the UFC.
Yeah, this guy's voice is wild. It's scary to hear this guy talk. So Reese McKee's a head case. We have that. It seems like we agree there. Chidi, the bigger dude, harder puncher, all these things. I just think that Chidi sucks, man. I think that, you know, his future is probably in a lower level promotion, and he's going to be good in it. He's a good striker. He's just not well-rounded. I don't like it, but give me Reese McKee. I hate to say decision, but I'm going to go decision again. Reese McKee by decision.
All right. I don't hate that. I mean, Reese McKee, if he's going to win this fight, it's more than likely going to be by decision, because we know Chidi has a bad gas tank. McKee, he's not that bad. He has tools, man. Like, he has some skills. I've seen some glimpses of him looking decent, but he's just one thing I don't love about him. He's kind of chin high, hands low, and dude gets hit a lot. I mean, Chimaev obviously destroyed his stats, so you really can't get an accurate stat on this dude on at least strikes absorbed per minute and shit, because that fight, he got taken down immediately and was 40 strikes to none. So his fucking stats were forever smoked unless he does that to somebody. But the dude's just, he's hittable, but he's tough. He knows how to survive. It's just when I look at Chitty, I know he's on a three fight skid. And moving down to 170 again is, it's super concerning at this age. But I just feel like he's going to get McKee out of there. This is a step down for him. If you look at the guys he's been fighting, McKee isn't on that level. He's 0-3 in the UFC, and it's for a reason. He's not that good. I was kind of surprised that they brought him back, but I feel like Chitty's going to end up finding him. I was trying to find reasons to bet McKee here, but just because I know how bad Chitty's cardio is, I was trying to find reasons to get McKee, but just watching the tape, this dude is just so damn hittable. And I mean, doesn't even matter. This dude has really bad takedown defense. I don't think Chitty has ever attempted a takedown in his pro career, but I don't think McKee's UFC level. I don't think Chitty's some world beater, but I think this is a step down for him, and he should get back in the win column here. So I'm going to say Chitty gets a knockout, hopefully sooner than round two, but I'm going to call it round two.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that you're crazy for taking that. Obviously, the public is on that as well. Now, I am interested to hear what you think about this. Our very own Jared Lennon is fighting Kyle Nelson. I mean, look at this. The fucking resemblance is
You really
uncanny.
see it. It's funny, dude. You know what my buddies have said was Jack Shore. I don't know if you can picture him off the top of your head, but
No, it's this. I mean, it's Bill Algeo, dude.
it's
That's
okay.
your face put on Bill Algeo's body.
That's
And
fun.
he is fighting Kyle Nelson. And he's not a bad looking dude. Like, that's not an insult. This guy, you know, he's a good fighter, a fan-friendly fighter. But yeah, dude, I actually, like, if I had the time today, I was going to pull up, like, I was going to take this, I was going to screenshot it, and I took a picture off your Instagram. It was you holding the Bud Light, and I was going to just put you in that picture, and I was going to say fucking Bill Algeo fighting Kyle Nelson, and it was just you with one of your buddies drinking a beer, and
That is perfect.
I just didn't have the time to do it. But yeah, man, I mean, yeah, you're about to go and fight Kyle Nelson. This is your fight to start with. What do you think's going on here?
I thought I was going to get knocked out at UFC 301 because all my buddies say Jack Shore, but you're seeing Algeo. I'll
Yeah.
take it though. I think I'm pretty well rounded. I'm a complete fighter, so I'm going to
Yeah.
ride myself here. Give me Algeo. Kyle Nelson, he definitely worries me because he has a way of, making guys fight his kind of fight where he can slow, when you have a dynamic striker, a lot of evidence of this is look at his fighting against Padilla. You got a dude with a lot of movement, a lot of dynamic striking, and his low kicks and his jab was able to change the course of that fight, making these guys that aren't so stationary, making them more of a stationary target. Kyle Nelson, he has a way of doing that. It's a little bit of a concern, but I got to bet on myself here, man. Algeo, he's well rounded. He's the definition of a switch stance fighter. He's showing so many different looks. I'm a little worried that Kyle Nelson could find a way to slow down that movement, but I'm going to hope he doesn't. I'm going to side with Algeo to win a close decision.
Okay. Got to correct you. It's Padilla. That's the one thing that I will die on because, you know, I'm part Mexican. We live out here in Tucson, Arizona. The
I'm a
double
Yankee,
L's.
dude. I told you. I don't. I say these Hispanic names in like the white guy version. So Padilla all day.
Well, I think it is Billy Quarantillo. I think that Quarantillo is actually the right way to say that.
That is how I say it. What? Why people say Quarantio or?
I think so, but I always say Quarantillo, but I know for a fact that the double L's, if you're, you know, Latin, if there's any kind of Latin influence there, it is the Y sound, right? So Padilla, all these different guys, right? Now, Bill Algeo is my Billy Quarantillo here. This is the guy that I was mentioning earlier. Bill Algeo, and I know that you kind of referenced it earlier. I wasn't going to acknowledge it because TJ Brown had Bill Algeo in all kinds of trouble, man. All kinds of trouble. If you go back and watch that fight, I did tape. Oh, Alex is coming in. Alex is coming.
Is he?
Yeah, dude. I gave him fucking, I wrote on all of his picks, gay fag. All nice. Throughout up until this. So
you don't even have to change anything either.
No, I'm not. He's automatically losing this week. What's up, buddy? You just wake up?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We had we have had a talk here. It's great that you came in on this fight, though.
This is my guy. I was sent here to tell you that Bill Algeo's a fucking lock. Oh, drop boy. The fucking balance, but that line's getting a little bit smoked.
Well, so hold on here.
It's going to be a robbery decision.
I'm in the middle of a breakdown. And then you just barge in here acting like this is your house. Hold on.
This is my fight, though.
This is not your fight because Bill Algeo is this week's Billy Quarantillo. I told you, and I actually recorded this, because when I was telling you how bad Billy Quarantillo is, you were shaking your head, you were making goofy faces, and I was like, Billy Quarantillo is not that good. And then you sided with Yusuf Zalal, with myself, and you know, Billy Quarantillo looked like he didn't even belong in the UFC. So this is this week's Billy Quarantillo for my picks. I think that Kyle Nelson is very underrated lately. He's done a great job making people fight his fights. Jared said this himself just a second ago. If you watch this TJ Brown fight, he was in all kinds of trouble. TJ Brown had this dude fucked up several times. TJ Brown is a bad fighter, man. He's got a horrible record. In his last fight against Alexander Hernandez, going the distance, Alexander Hernandez is almost like the fucking Beverly Hills fucking ninja. This dude is not that good either, man. He's hit or miss. So I am very, this is one of the only things that I'm confident on this card. But with that said, do your own research. Don't just blindly follow me. I'm taking Kyle Nelson. And you guys know how I feel about fucking Canadians. I think that they're soft. I think that they don't fucking fight properly. These guys are not fighters. They're fucking, you know, nice individuals. Kyle Nelson just had a kid. He had a boy, dude. This guy is out here trying to fucking change his fucking family's life. He's going to be here for a little while. He's 2 years younger, 34 at featherweight. It's getting up there. Kyle Nelson's the younger guy by 2 years. Give me Kyle Nelson. Give me Kyle Nelson by probably decision. But since I've picked so many decisions on this card, give me Kyle Nelson by submission. I think that this happens in like round two or round three. I think it could happen, man. We'll see. But Alex, since this is your first time hopping in on this, what are your thoughts on this? I know you're heavy on Bill Algeo.
I love Bill. I think if he doesn't showboat as much as he did like in his last fight, he'll be all right. Do I think Bill can start slow? Yeah, I think he can. I think he could be surprised by the wrestling game of Kyle. But I think round two, round three, I think who's fought the better guys? You know, who's he fought that goes out there and starches guys like Andre Feely? And I'm just saying the track record is there. He has a great track record. And I'm all over like
Herbert Burns. I mean, we just got Herbert Burns. Herbert Burns, a beast.
The Fredo fight was one of the best fights. It was a great fight on his resume. It's aging well. He loses to grapplers. You're right. This isn't the best matchup for Bill Algeo. I just think he's fought enough wrestlers, better wrestlers.
Sure.
He's ready. He's ready. And speaking of who just got knocked out by Billy Q, this guy, Kyle Nelson, come on. Get out of here. This guy
get knocked out. This was back in 2020.
UFC caliber, in my opinion. Yeah, he'll be sticking around for a while. He puts on some good shows. And that Fernando Padilla fight is going to age well after his performance last week. But
yeah, the Billy Q loss that you're talking about was 4 years ago.
I don't care.
You know, losing to Jai Herbert, too, that's not the greatest, right? But then he beat Blake Builder, who was a touted prospect. Blake Builder went into Canada to beat
this wrestler. He's fighting a guy with hands now. Yeah, right. Pedic had hands. You're right. And that one threw me off. Did I lose money on that fight? Yes.
Yeah.
Do I always fade Kyle Nelson? Yes.
It's hard not to, man. Well,
yes.
It's hard not to fade Kyle Nelson. And like I said, I'm a Canada hater, especially.
I honestly think that since Bill has all the fans behind him at the moment, except for you. Well, maybe you like him still. But I think he's actually going to win this close decision this time. Am I going to be dropping all of my money on Bill Algeo? No, because Kyle Nelson has ripped me a new asshole before in the past. I just think Bill is ready for this kind of matchup. Bill, by unanimous decision, please and thank you. UFC, please put in good judges this week because I don't want to be robbed.
Okay, so you're going decision for Algeo. What did you have for Algeo? Or I'm sorry, for yourself, Jared. I mean, this is, if you didn't hear, Alex, Jared is the one stepping in here and fighting Kyle Nelson.
And I never bet against my boy.
I know. If it was actually Jared fighting Bill Algeo, I would bet Jared. But, you know, obviously we're joking here. Bill Algeo is not Jared. So what was your actual decision here? You had Algeo by what method?
Decision.
Okay.
It's going to be close, man. Like I said, Kyle Nelson, he's a motherfucker. Dude's got a way of slowing down movement, making you fight his fight. Just got to bet on myself here.
He hits harder than we think, too.
Man. He's got deceiving power. What really changed that Padilla fight was he landed a hard shot, dude. That he got Padilla's respect right away, and that changed the course of the fight. He was gun-shy after that. I mean, the dude does have some skills. It's very deceiving power.
Yeah, I mean, I've grown to become a fan of him. I like him more than fucking Mike Malott. I'll tell you that right now, that fucking twink. But yeah, dude, this guy is, I mean, he's growing, man. He's growing on me. So, yeah, we'll see what's up. Now, this one's interesting. Since we have all three of us in here, we'll go back to the method that we were supposed to do. I'm starting. Jared's going second. Alex is going third. Now, with Nursultan Ruzaboyev versus Cedriquis Dumas, I do not understand this line. I'll tell you that right now. Cedriquis Dumas, horrible performance last time out there in Abu Dhabi. But the UFC likes this guy for some reason. I don't know why. I'm not sure why they like him. He's a horrible human being. Again, I mentioned this with Dennis Bazooka going out there and beating up kids and shit like that. Cedriquis Dumas beating up women. I don't know what's worse. I mean, they're both pretty fucking bad. This is the second time I think he said himself from a video that I watched, 70% of his fucking fight camp was in jail. So that's a tough look, but maybe it's not because you're not eating that good of food. I don't know.
Dana, you know, likes to hit his wife too.
Sure.
But yeah, so Dumas got arrested, it was 6 weeks ago, which like made me Google some shit. He's been arrested 12 times since 2014.
Yeah, I'm not sure who's a worse person out of him or Bazooka. You know, Bazooka's been arrested, I think, once or twice.
He plays two characters. He's 21 Savage on the.
He's 21 all day.
Yeah. I'll, you know, not beat around the bush here. I think that Ruzaboyev is very, very overrated here. This line doesn't make sense to me. He hasn't shown that he should be a minus 500 favorite or whatever he is right now. It's shown here on Tapology minus 270. That's not the case. I think he's like minus 500. I'm taking Dumas, man. I'm taking Dumas. I think that he goes, again, decision. Dumas has focused more on wrestling, which I don't understand why. I think that he should have the takedown defense. But I think that he can actually go out there and he can get this done against a very mediocre contender from Uzbekistan, living out of Philly right now. He's been training out of that Henzo Gracie gym, and you know my thoughts about that Henzo Gracie gym. I think that they're shit. So yeah, I think he's learning all the wrong things. He'd be better off just fighting out of Uzbekistan, stay away from Philly and that fucking jiu-jitsu that they do out there. Give me Cedriquis Dumas, man. Probably by decision. Jared.
Yeah, I'm on the other side here, dude. I think I just think I know he's at Renzo Gracie, but I think he's one of the few guys in that gym that does have hands. And I know his experience, it is lower level, but regardless, this dude has stepped into the cage a lot of times. He's obviously got good jiu-jitsu, we already know that, but his hands aren't bad, and that showed in his last fight against a real serious KO threat, and he put him out. When I look at 21 Savage, I mean, a lot of people liked his last album. Personally, I haven't listened to it, but he's pretty good on the feet. He's long. He uses kicks well, but I really question his fight IQ. I mean, you know, his last loss, this dude like really, I mean, he had every opportunity to win that fight, and he threw himself into a submission. It was just, it was hard to watch. I mean, I don't think the guy's that good. I gotta side with Nursultan here. I think he's the better fighter, and I think I just don't trust the IQ of 21, and I think he should stick to rapping. So I'm gonna take Nursultan submission round one.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's probably the logical side. I don't see it. I don't think he should be this big of a favorite. So I'm going the other way. Alex, where are you at here?
I'm gonna have to side with Jared here. This is one of the early bets that I put on the card because I thought the line was gonna go in the opposite direction, and I was wrong, which I'm upset about. But I'd be, you know, lying to tell you I've been nervous about hearing all these dog shots on Dumas. He's probably one of the most popular dog picks on this card that I've been hearing lately. I hear a lot of cappers, you know, picking him in this spot. I do just trust Nursultan with, you know, three times the MMA experience. I'd like the hands, and no offense, but I don't really like how Dumas. I think Dumas only has one path to victory here, which is wrestling, and that's where I hear a lot of cappers saying that, you know, Dumas is the better wrestler here. But you know, that's only gonna last so long when you're training out of a place like that Philly gym. So I do like Nursultan. He cost me money in the first fight. I don't want him to cost me money here. So I'm going to go with him to get a knockout in round one. I don't trust Dumas on the feet too much. He's just, I'd hate to say it, but he doesn't look as good as the fight goes on, too. You know, what was his debut fight?
He fought Josh Fremd.
Yeah, he looked horrible in that fight. And then he came out and, you know, did look better, but
Well, he
no.
really didn't, but I get what you're saying.
I just think he's way too sloppy in the spot, and I trust Ruzabowev's gas tank. And I think the longer this fight goes, you know, the bigger favorite Nursultan's going to be on the live line. So that's why I want to get him now. But I just don't trust, you know, 21 Savage here, especially being in jail for a big camp. But would be a good story, and I'm scared of anything close. You know, they might give it a Dumas here. Because Dana's definitely got a thing for him since they both commit the same crimes.
Right. Yeah, it's
But
interesting, man. It's definitely an interesting fight. I think Cedric just kind of finds a way to win usually. I mean, we can forgive him for dropping his first ever UFC fight against a horrible fighter in Josh Fremd, but he went out there and beat Cody Brundage, who's fighting on UFC 300, right? I mean, that's wild. So let's give him a little bit of slack here. But yeah, man, I'll be the one that's taking Dumas.
not alone because he's a popular pick this week.
But I'm saying I'm alone here, and then with the whole thing with if we're gonna talk about picks that were popular with cappers and all these things, fucking there's been so many mainstream cappers that have picked losers, so I might be on the losing side here. Just to go back, I missed the round. You had sub, Jared. You had sub for Nurs. What was this? What round?
Round one.
Round one.
Calling it early.
And Alex, you have Nurs by what?
KO round one.
KO in round one. Yeah, people forget too that Cedric was Dumas is a street fighter. Like that was his kind of whole thing. So he's been trying to sharpen up his wrestling. That's why he lost to Fremd. So he's been wrestling more and more against Brundage. and then against this Abu Azaitar, you know, he's skilled on the feet, man. So we'll see how that goes. But moving on up, and I've got a hot take for the fucking main event. We're about to get there. I've got some interesting new numbers and stuff like that that I want to throw at you guys. We got Bruno Silva versus Chris Weidman in the featured fight of the night. There's no reason to talk about this too much, man. I think that Chris Weidman is a little bit washed. I like the guy. I want him to do well. I think that he's got a future, you know, with the weigh-in show for the UFC and doing some work with ESPN and stuff. But I think that this is Bruno Silva all day. I think that he could potentially get a knockout. I think that this is kind of a nasty spot. I don't see Weidman winning this in any way, shape, or form. So give me Bruno Silva knockout round one. I'm just going to keep it short. Jared.
Well, I got two words for you. No for gay. I'm going with Chris Weidman. I know I am getting the oldest, shittiest, most beat up version of him. I'm taking him. I don't care. He was such a great fighter. I mean, he was the definition of a well-rounded fighter. He has a very, very clear path to victory in this fight. He wrestles Bruno Silva. He can win this. This is not some unwinnable fight for him. Now, if he doesn't get takedowns, he's either getting knocked out or he's getting his leg kicked into oblivion. I know Bruno Silva's Muay Thai heavy. He's got good low kicks. But I will never forgive him for getting outstruck by Gerald Meerschaert. Not a good look. And, you know, yeah, Weidman, you know, he's coming off the injury. If you look at his last five fights, he's 1-4. Well, so is Bruno Silva. I don't care, man. I am absolutely taking a shot on Weidman to win what I think is going to be his retirement fight. Wrestle. Weidman by submission, round two.
I like it. I actually like that pick.
I have to agree with him. I'm so happy that we're on the same page because this is my sneaky dog pick of the week. I love Chris Weidman here too. I think that I've seen enough tape on Bruno that there's a clear path to victory. Like, let me bring up the, if you want to watch how he loses this fight, watch the Andrew Sanchez fight with Bruno Silva. It was a little bit old, but there's a clear path to victory. Bruno has a big hole in his game, which is the wrestling. And I think Weidman could easily get these takedowns. And even if he's tired, all he has to do is get a takedown, take a rest. You know, I do want to take the sub. Am I going to take that as a prop? Probably. But I think there's something in my gut that says he weasels out a decision here. Maybe even gets knocked down once. But, you know, gets knocked down, baits him into the guard, reverses, lays on him for the rest of the round. But I'm going to go with Weidman here. I'm going to go with a close decision. But, boy, I'm definitely going to be tempted on taking that submission prop. I think that's a live prop as well. And, yeah, I wouldn't mind to see Chris Weidman retire on a win. You know, be one of the few guys I'd predict to retire on a win as well. But, you know, it seems like this is the underrated dog on the card. Like, he's a very unpopular pick as well. But I'm going to go with Weidman, decision. And I'm probably going to toss some money down the drain chasing that.
Yeah, I like him too as a person, man. It's just I think he's old, man. He's had his spine infused, the fucking fused together. He's had knee replacements. This is you know, he's 39 and 9 months on paper, but he's 60 realistically. I mean, this guy is washed. He's a fit 60-year-old. But he's been fucking through it, man. That's an old 39. Now moving on up to the co-main event of the evening. This is a fun one, man. Vicente Luque versus Joaquin Buckley. Again, I'll keep this short. I think that Luque, he's looking to wrestle more. Buckley, power puncher, right? Got one of the most viral knockouts of all time. I just don't rate him very high. I hear a lot of people on Buckley. I think it's interesting because I think it's kind of like it's a popular underdog. You look at these two, you say, yeah, you set them side by side. Yeah, Buckley is going to win these fights. If you're just having people pick who's the fighter out of these two guys. But Luque's learned his lesson. He doesn't like getting hit anymore. And normally I would think that that's kind of like a sketchy thing. But with his striking acumen and with like his skills striking, him sharpening his wrestling skills, I think is nothing but good. So the way that he fought RDA, I think that that's the way that he wins this fight. I think that he wrestles the shit out of Joaquin Buckley. And yeah, give me Luque probably by, again, decision. I think this is kind of a decision-heavy card. I hate to say it, but yeah, Luque by decision, man. Jared, what you got?
Yeah, I like that take, dude. I mean, Buckley, of course, we know how what kind of fight he wants to fight. He's got solid striking. He does have KO power. He's a very fan-friendly style, you know? Like he likes to put on entertaining fights, and this is an opportunity for him to break into the top 15. I think Luque has kind of fallen into the role that he was destined to be at this point, and that's a gatekeeper. And I think he keeps the gate here. He's good. I feel like he's kind of low stock right now. He fought a great fight, that RDA fight. It really showed that he's not one-dimensional. If you're able to take down and control RDA, I don't care how old RDA is, that is impressive. On the feet, Buckley, you know, he does throw some real heat, but I think Luque is the more technical guy. It should be a good fight. It's going to be entertaining, but I have to give the edge to Luque here. So I'm going to say Luque wins himself a hard-fought decision.
I like it. What you got, Alex?
I've been all over Luque in this spot. I love Luque. I'm a big fan of his. It's not often I bet against him. But, you know, all this, the line movement scares me. I thought it was going to move in the opposite direction. You know, because who do we think's getting better here between fight to fight? It has to be Buckley. You know what I mean? And here's another thing is that I'm not going to be putting too much money on this because Luque be dropping the first round a lot. And I'm trying to put my money on these fights at the best odds. I don't care if I have to wait around, you know, but I do predict Buckley. When do we see Buckley lose in round one, dropping round one? Not often. So I think Buckley's going to be up round one and then he's going to get tired. He's going to be like, wow, I didn't put Luque out. Or the game plan for Luque is going to change. They're going to tell him, you know, start wrestling in the corner. He's going to come out and change up that game plan. So with that being said, I like Luque. I'm going to live bet him after round one as long as he's not flatlined on the canvas. Or, you know, doesn't take a crazy knee like I see Marlon Vera take. You know, then I will keep the live bet going. But I am nervous about this fight. You know, there's a reason why this is the co-main. Something in my gut tells me they want to build Buckley off of Luque. Because Luque's name is already built. But I'm back and forth on this. I would bet this, you know, light guys. But any other side picks, I would definitely go over 1.5. I do like both of their chins. And I'd be leaning over here 100%. But, yeah, let's go Luque by decision. Maybe a late knockout, you know, maybe a late sub. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go round three sub because I see that happening. But, you know, I've been telling everyone, is this a five-rounder or a three-rounder? It's a three-rounder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that helps Buckley a lot. That helps Buckley so much because if this was a five-rounder, I'd be dropping the balance on Luque. And wow, that Tapology percentage looks off because all I hear is Buckley on the internet too. That's crazy, you know. And all the big bettors are coming in early on Buckley too, which is very strange because that line has moved down to even. You know, and I was going to take it at like minus 140. All the dog value on Buckley is gone. So yeah, let's go Luque round three sub for the fluke.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just put too much weight on, like, they just blindly say the younger fighter wins, right? I mean, we got a 29-year-old versus a 32-year-old. It's 3 years difference, borderline 2 years difference. This guy's almost fucking 30. He's 29 and 11 months versus 32 and 4 months. So people just emphasize the age difference, and I think that it's not just a one-size-fits-all type thing. So, yeah, man, we're all on Luque. Interesting. I thought one of you guys would be on Buckley because, yeah, I've heard a lot of people talking about how great Buckley is in this fight. But I don't see it. Never been a big Buckley fan, other than like his personality, his social media, his style. I think his skills are far inferior to Luque. So we'll see how that goes. Now this fight, main event, not super exciting on paper. It's a number one contender fight. Who's going to fight Alexa Grasso probably in next year, we'll say, because they're already going to do the September fight at the Sphere with Valentina Shevchenko and her, right? They're doing the whole fight, tough shit, all that stuff. But I found something, man. Aaron Blanchfield versus Manon Farah. Now, I am not a fan of the Frenchies, right? I have these biases out there. I don't like Canadians. I don't like French. It's kind of one and the same, right? French Canadian. It's similar. Now, I found this really interesting thing, and follow me along here because I'm a conspiracy guy. Whenever I hear numbers that stand out to me, I like to follow them. Now, can you see Aaron Blanchfield's Instagram here? Yes.
Yep.
So Aaron Blanchfield says, made my pro debut in Atlantic City 6 years ago today. 6 years ago today when she posted this. Okay. In 6 days, I'm headlining UFC Atlantic City. Can't wait to get another win in my home state. Six and six. Okay. So right away, I'm looking for the third six. Where's this third six at? Turns out there's a lot of fucking sixes involved here. Okay. Let's go to Aaron Blanchfield. She's got six finishes in her pro career. Two by knockout, four by submission. She's got six decision wins. Okay. She's got six fights in the UFC, six wins. Wild right there. Now let's go to Manon Farrow. Very similar story. Manon Farrow has six knockouts, six fights in the UFC. And if she wins by decision, she will have her sixth
Where
decision.
she's had six fights go the distance.
She's had six fights go the distance, but this will be her sixth win. I think Manon Farrow wins by decision in this fight. And I actually like Aaron Blanchfield a lot. I'm picking Manon Farrow for no reason. I think that both of these girls are very talented, but I think that just to complete this sixth trifecta, because there's no way that you can go back to, Aaron Blanchfield and she gets a six anywhere, right? If she's got seven wins by decision, all these different things. You can I spent a lot of time on this. I don't want to fucking beat this to death, but I really think that the way that you just get another six in here, Manon Farrow, her nickname is the Beast. That's another nickname for the devil. I think that this is an interesting little thing here. I think that Manon Farrow wins this fight by decision. Jared, what you got?
I mean, for completely different reasons, I am on the same page as you. It's funny, dude. I say I'm not a conspiracy kind of guy, but Alex fucking gets me with the numbers sometimes. And here you come doing the same thing. I actually feel kind of reassured seeing some shit like that. Blanchfield, she is on my list of undefeated UFC fighters to fade. And she's a grappler, pretty one-dimensional. Her last fight, she definitely, in my opinion, earned some respect on the feet because I didn't expect her to look good on the feet, and she definitely did. But Manon, dude, she's got them hands. I like everything about her. She's got the high output. She's got great takedown defense. As long as this fight's on the feet, Manon should be winning. If it ends up on the ground, of course, you're in Blanchfield's world. But yeah, I mean, I have to side, striker versus grappler. You know me, I tend to lean towards the striker. I'm going to take Manon to win a decision.
Yeah, different reasons. I mean, if you're going to take Aaron Blanchfield, it's got to be by sub. But I think that, again, it would just it proves just a little more that we're living in a simulation. I'm not 100% there yet, but just with these numbers, I'm not saying that the UFC is necessarily rigging fights. But yeah, it'd be a hell of a fucking coincidence if Manon Farrow, gets another six in there by going to decision and beating someone that should beat her. I mean, she's favored. Alex, what do you got here?
I've been back and forth. I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that line change has made me very nervous. Where's all this early money coming on? you know, Blanchfield. Well, I guess it must be Tapology. But she opened up about minus 140, and now she's at minus 200, minus 185 range. You know, I don't see where all this confidence is coming from. I think on the feet, Manon's going to out-volume her just a slight bit, enough to get each round. And here's another thing. You know, when have we seen Erin in a five-round fight where it's gone the distance? You know, that car, there are question marks around Erin when we have those answers with Fiorot. Like, she has five-round cardio in her. She has the volume. You know, she has the takedown defense. Has she fought as good of a wrestler as Erin Blanchfield? Probably not, which makes me nervous as well, because, you know, we could see Manon on her back for some time in this fight, which worries me as well. You know, like, who is the best? Like, none of these girls that she's fought, maybe Myra Silva, but even then, she's not the best wrestler. I'm not going to be rushing to bet this fight. Do I like the value on Manon? Yes. Am I going to be betting the over 2.5 in this fight, over 3.5? Absolutely. That's my confidence, is in this fight goes a while. Am I confident in betting like a same game parlay where, you know, perhaps Erin gets more takedowns? Yes. Is it probably going to be minus 300, minus 350 range? Yes. But that's something safer than I think about betting on either one of these girls to win. It is very, very unpredictable what's going to happen at a decision, especially after, you know, what we've been seeing recently. You know, I had people saying that Amanda Ribas got robbed last week. You know, no one can really get this on the same page when it comes to a decision. And this is one of the spots where I see it going to decision, and I don't want to bet close decisions. I guess I'll take it on the plus money side with Manon. It's just, I'm trying to avoid those spots where I'm leaving it up to the judges to make me money, when they have every right to just steal my money, which they've done so many times in the past. You know, as much, as great as it feels to win a robbery decision, I'd rather just cash out before even going to the spot. So I'll go Manon, Fiorot by decision, not super confident. There's safer bets to make on this fight, and I'm going to take the safe way. I'm going to take the easy way out, but I'll take Manon by split, not super confident.
Yeah. I think everyone agreed on the Sean O'Malley versus Chito Vera decision. I'll just throw that out there one more time, because that was dominant. Yeah, this is going to be very close. But I don't know, man. The numbers fucking seal it for me. I think that tells me something, man. We'll go with it. We'll go with it. I am a little nervous that we're all on the Manon Farrow decision. That always, you know, kind of puts me off a little bit. We're all on the same page with the main event and the co-main event.
Hey, us on the same page last week. We did pretty good.
We did
5 out of 6. Yeah.
That's true. Okay. Well, yeah, maybe we're starting to fucking, you know.
Five out of six.
Well, hey, you know, if you parlayed it, it was rough. But if you round robin, that would have been nice, right?
Yeah, but what kind of fucking loser round robins?
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. But
always, yeah. Round robin. Always.
You just got to put so much more money down. It's not as sexy.
Yeah, you got to put more money down to make. You have to put down more money to make less. And if you get one wrong, yes, you get money back, but the return on the investment's fucking laughable. Parlay, dude. Fuck it. Short money, big pay. Yeah, fuck it, dude. So we'll let the casinos keep winning.
I lost 2 out of 5 on a round robin that I put like $400 on last week, and I got 200 back, 200 bucks back.
And you lost 200.
Yeah.
But so here's the thing. But here's the thing though. If you parlayed that, you wouldn't be putting 400 on it. You'd be putting like fucking 20, 25 bucks on it to get the same, if not better, payout of them all hitting.
Big bucks over here.
Fuck round robins, bro. We try to speak to the average man.
I could see both. Let's get our extra bets in real quick, because I want to make some dinner. You know, it's getting late over here on the West Coast. I know it's very late.
All right, let me start so Jared doesn't steal my picks.
Well, what do you got?
I already got mine written down. What do you got? I got Lay it on me.
Teamer, I already bet. I posted it for close some of my close friends. I said, tail at your own risk. I've been nervous hearing all this.
Say it slow so I can write it down.
I've been very, very disappointed about hearing all the 21 Savage picks lately, but I have Chitty Bang Bang parlayed with Nersultan at plus 110, 108 range. And yeah, I'm going with that. And you know what scares me is that there's been early money coming on both of those, both of my guys' opponents. There's been money coming in on, what the hell is his name? Reese McGee. And there's been money coming in on Dumas. So I'm like, I hate going against early money like that. Usually is a bad sign. But that's my parlay I already have going.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like it, but it might fucking hit, man. I mean, like, that's the whole thing. It's like, who the fuck knows? You're wrong until you're right, you know, in people's heads, or you're right until you're wrong, vice versa. So what's the whale bet this week, Jared?
I got three plays for you. I got a whale bet, I got a steamer, and I got a street bet.
All right, say it slow so I can write it down.
All right, whale bet. We got Loopy and Julio Arce at even odds.
Okay.
Wait for you to catch up.
Gotcha.
Four teamer steamer. We're looking at Gatto, Emmers, Algio, and Firo. That's plus 765.
Filo.
And then Firo. Or fuck, I don't know, bro. Leave me alone. I ain't even drinking.
No, I'm sorry. Who is it?
Firo. Firo, right? I said it right.
I have no idea who he's talking about either.
What the fuck? Manon?
Oh, Manon Firo. Say Manon, motherfucker. What are you talking about? We call
her... all right. Apparently, I can't say her last name.
Figueroa. That we're like, what? Yeah,
I'd say Figueroa. I said Firo.
I know. It just sounded funny, man.
All right. So hold up. Start over. Whale bet. Loopy. Arce.
Right.
Four teamer steamer. We got Gatto, Algio, Emmers, in Manon.
Got it.
And then you know I have to have a straight bet on Weidman, bro. No for gay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love the four-teamer. I really like the four-teamer. I mean, you know, I'm obviously not on Gatto. I'm on Dudikova, but I like that. That's a nice one. I might tail that just for kicks. I don't have anything that I'm too confident in other than... you know, I mentioned, I think this is before Alex got on. I'll give you a dog of the week. I think it's Kyle Nelson, man. I think that Kyle Nelson beats Bill Algeo just because of the – I was super turned off of
Bill Algeo. Save that money, baby. Save that money, Mr. Well, Perfect.
This is why –
are you going to take a soy Canadian over your boy?
The reason why I can take a soy Canadian over someone that looks like my boy is because he's not my boy. Now, Bill Algeo calling himself Mr. Perfect with a fucking damn near fucking 50-50 record, right? Like, I obviously, you know, losing fucking seven fights for your 18, that's a bad look, man. You got to change your name from Mr. Perfect once you're 18-7, man. Like 18-0, you can call yourself Mr. Perfect. That shit is far from perfect. So, dude, Kyle Nelson's underrated. He's one of these dudes flying under the radar. He's my dog of the week, man.
Perfect when it comes to not getting finished in the UFC.
When it comes to switching stances, silky smooth, baby.
Go boating. When it comes to whiffing and going like that.
Oh, I hope you don't fucking sound stupid after all this fucking hype we're putting on him.
Well, that's the thing, man. I might be wrong. That's why I'm picking a dog. I like picking, like, if I'm going to be confident on something, I'd like to make it clear that this is just my thought. I also think Jamal Emmers is a great pick this week. A lot of people are going to be on Nate Landwehr. But yeah, dude, my dog of the week is Kyle Nelson, and I will stand by it. But people can talk shit if I'm wrong. I should be wrong because he's a dog. But I'm standing by it, man. I think that he's definitely got something there for all you degenerates. But yeah, man, fun episode. Jared, plug your stuff, and then Alex, go after him. I'll wrap us up, and then we'll get the fuck out of here.
That's me, bro. Teep Picks on Instagram. That's it.
Big fight this weekend. Go and rest up. And
yeah, and I'm gonna get the job done too. It might be by decision, but I guarantee I'll get the job done.
All right. Well, good luck, dude. I mean, I'll eat my words. And then we'll really start.
I'm fucking hoping I don't, man. I've been talking some shit, so.
We'll really pretend that you're Bill Algeo if you end up, if Bill Algeo ends up winning this fight. We'll actually say that you're Bill Algeo.
I'll be watching it with Jared, and I'm gonna be screaming at the screen, like, "Come on, Jared, get him, get him!"
Wait, all right, so Alex, let me ask you a question.
He loses,
Am
I'm gonna look
I
right at
Algeo?
Jared, and I'm gonna be like, "Dude, like, how you gonna let me down like that?"
Am I Algeo though, or am I Jack Shore? Because Andrew fucking really differs. He thinks Jack
You're
Shore.
more Jack Shore, dead ass. You look a lot more like Jack Shore, but
It's
he's
a
already
side
let us down.
profile. It's fucking creepy.
He's already let us down, so you know we can't look at you the same anymore.
He's probably about to, I'm probably about to get knocked out again at UFC 301 fighting Joe Anderson Brito
Yeah, Brito's
in
a
Brazil.
tough challenge there, but yeah, man, I don't know. Yeah, when you're white, people say that like all black guys look the same. A lot of white dudes look the same too. It's rough for all of us out here. So it is what
Yeah,
it
look at Alex. He looks like Jillian Robertson.
He does a little bit. But yeah, man, no, fun stuff. Alex, plug your shit.
Profit picks like Nostradamus on Instagram, whatever other goddamn social media you follow. I'm probably on there. Follow us on YouTube. Subscribe under Profit Picks. We should be doing poker vlogs in the future as well. I'm trying to get Jared to get a little cameo on there just for fun. You know, I'll let him borrow the GoPro and, you know, you can watch us punt on the poker table too.
I like it. Yeah, man. All
Yep.
about making money over here. Listen to Dangerous World Podcast. Obviously, if you're listening to my feed, you're familiar with the content, all conspiracy stuff. It's gotten a little kind of boring lately. I've been trying to find other shit to do and just talk about new shit. Kind of interesting. Ryan Garcia said that something bad was going to happen in Baltimore on March 26th, and then that bridge collapsed.
Wow. Who said
So.
that?
Ryan Garcia, man, could because Gervonta Davis, who he fought last, is from Baltimore. It's like something bad's going to
Wow.
happen in Baltimore on March 26th, and lo and behold, that fucking bridge fucking collapsed today. So,
Yo, that's crazy, dude.
yeah, it's funny.
Actually, real quick, I was earlier at work today. I was listening to the last episode of Cunt, and I was just getting into the French fry portion, and I was like, I was so interested, but I had to fucking pack it up. But dude, it's some crazy shit that you guys are talking about on there.
Yeah, man, it's fun, and thank you. It's just the shit that's out there, man. Like, that you're being poisoned, you're being fucking hypnotized. As long as you know what's going on, I think you can kind of combat it a little bit. And if we can kind of break out of the matrix in any way, shape, or form, I think what Alex is doing is great. Just being able to live his life doing shit that he enjoys. I'm very happy with what I'm doing. Obviously, Jared, you're right there too, man. Like, you're working a fucking 9 to 5, but when you can get away from that, I think that's the fucking biggest step that people can take. And obviously, you're loving your life, dude. Like, you have a family and all this shit. You're probably happier than both of us, but it's just one of those things where, getting out of the fucking 9 to 5 system is such a huge step. And I hope that everyone can do that out there, man. So, and just do what they love. That's what shit's about.
It's a 6-2, I'll have you know. But yeah, I mean, when you, yeah, I mean, I love being an electrician. I like what I do, but you know, the real dream is to step out of that, you know,
Yeah,
really do what you love.
exactly. Yeah, that's the thing, man. Yeah, and
You're gambling.
dude, yeah, dude, fucking just being a full-time fucking bettor would be so fun. A capper, whatever the fuck the professional name is, just nonstop doing exactly what you want to be doing in that moment in time is the goal. And I think that's what humans are meant to do, man. So it is what it is, dude. We'll see what happens this week. Hopefully, we'll get a little step closer towards that goal of just pure fucking happiness, and money sure helps with that shit. So good luck to both of you guys, and everybody out there betting, tail with caution, do your own research. This is a guide. It's not a fucking fortune telling thing. Do your research.
Yeah, we lose too sometimes.
We do lose. We do lose. So yeah, get out there and pay attention. You can't just fucking blindly bet shit. You got to be invested. You got to pay attention. You got to do research. Give us picks. If any of us make bad picks, tell us. Be like, dude, you're way off on this. You're spot on with this.
On all the smoke.
We love it. We love it. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week, and we're very close to UFC 300, which is just a stacked fucking card. So until next time, guys, good luck on the bets. Make some good food. Watch the fights. Get drunk. Get high. Whatever the fuck you do. Have fun, and we'll see you next week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.